It's worthwhile to note that there's other groups that are starting to kind of come out with car washes. And what makes us really unique, what we're doing here at PassiveInvesting.com, is that we're actually buying the business and the underlying real estate. Right. And I think an investor has to be really careful about that, because if you just buy the business and you don't have the real estate, you're not controlling the actual full potential of the asset.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big. Whitney Elkins Hutton is the Director of Investor Education at PassiveInvesting.com and partner in $700 million in real estate, including over 5,000 residential units and more than 1,400. And it cut off there. For some reason, it truncated your bio here, Whitney. I'm butchering it. 1,400 what?
Self-storage units.
Fantastic. And you know what? We're going to talk about none of those things today. You've come on the show before, I don't know, maybe 4 or 6 months ago. I don't have that episode right in front of me, which was a great time just chatting about really your experience in real estate up till that point in time. So if you want to look back in the show, you can find Whitney's previous interview. But the thing we're going to talk about today and really highlight and focus on is a really nuanced and niche investment you guys are taking on. Can you tell us about it, Whitney?
Well, yeah, I guess I actually, now you pointed out to me, I need to update my bio, because now we've started partnering on car washes. And so, right, who would have thunk? It's that if we're so proud to bring on this investment class for our investors. A lot of people, you know, don't think of car washes as their first, you know, piece of real estate they might invest in. The unique thing about car washes is that you can actually invest in the business and the real estate at the same time and achieve a nice yield, especially in this like cap rate compressed environment.
Tell me the nuances of car wash. Is there, I mean, when I think of a car wash, I think of the ones where you like, you know, you get in, you put it in neutral and it drags you through and you come out the other side. And then I think of the ones where, you know, they have the big signs like, don't wash all the mud off your ATVs here in our car wash, where you pull in and spray it off with a little wand and, you know, you put your quarters in the slot. Which one are you buying? Are you buying both? Give us the breakdown.
Yeah. So there's really three different types of car washes, and you've hit on two. So the coin operated car wash or the self-serve type of car wash is number one. I think a lot of us might've grown up with that, where you know, pull a car into a bay, you stick your quarters in, you got the brush and, you know, pumps up. Then, you know, you've got your water wand, you know, your child is like chasing you around the bay, trying to get you wet, right? Then you've got full service car washes. Think of these more of the type of single bay, maybe double bays that are attached to like a gas station or something like that. Again, not very scalable model, but they, you know, definitely can be a little, you know, some money makers. We're actually investing in what we call a car express car wash. So these are the, think of the ones like you were talking about, the long bay where you have the long tunnel and, you know, you pull up your car, somebody grabs it from you and they like vacuum it out and then they whip it around the back, they load it in the bay. We're not even doing that. I mean, this is all self-serve and, you know, you can, you know, vacuum out your car and then you can put it in the bay, and it's driven by how long that tunnel is and how quickly can you move the cars through and still do a great job for the customer, right? You can whip a car through an express tunnel, but if you're not doing a great job of getting that car clean, guess what? Customer's not coming back. Right. So there's a fine balance here. You know, really the express tunnel car washes are, you know, have the, you know, the most potential for profit, because there's really a lot of low maintenance to them and very low payroll burden on these type of assets. And there's even the opportunity to take some of these other type of car washes, the self-serve car wash, the full service car washes, and convert them into more of an express car wash. But, you know, it's worthwhile to note that there's other groups that are starting to kind of come out with car washes. And what makes us really unique, what we're doing here at PassiveInvesting.com, is that we're actually buying the business and the underlying real estate. Right. And I think an investor has to be really careful about that, because if you just buy the business and you don't have the real estate, you're not controlling the actual full potential of the asset.
Yeah. And that was going to be one of my next questions for you on this. But before we get to really the nuance of splitting of the business and the land that goes with it, let's talk a little bit about branding. And is there a national chain that you guys are branding under? Are you starting your own brand? Is there, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a franchise that you guys are working through? What is that?
You know, this is really a space that's ripe for disruption. If you think about it, the car wash space, you know, it's estimated to be, I think, you know, the number is like $27.8 billion of revenue a year, and it's growing just a shy of 4% annually. And a large majority of that growth is actually occurring in the express car wash business. Now, depending on where you live, you might have seen like brands like Zippo's or Mr. Car Wash, but the majority of these type of car washes are still owned by mom and pop operators. Right. And why is that? Well, if you think about it, the large players, institutional players, aren't getting into the space because they can't make it passive. There's not a management company that can take on this type of asset. So what we're doing that's very unique is that we're actually solving that problem by building our own vertical management company within the business. So what that's going to allow us to do is actually, you know, create tons of operational efficiencies for the business as well as for our investors, but be able to scale the business to about 100 to 150 locations and then wrap this all up together for a nice exit.
That is cool. I like that. And then would you guys retain the management company when you and just do third party? I mean, is that part of the plan?
Anything's possible at this point in time. So we are definitely in the build phase, the growth phase of this portfolio. So, you know, really focused on how many operational efficiencies can we create, you know, on the labor front, just even like thinking about the chemical front. How do we standardize training across all the locations? How do we standardize the service across all the locations? And, you know, once we kind of have that nailed down, then we'll be able to really fully assess what we do with the management company.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. How are you finding opportunity in this space?
Well, that is left to our acquisitions team. But again, remember, a majority of these locations are actually mom and pop locations. So right. They might have bought into like a small franchise or try to, you know, take over a property on their own. You know, they struggle. You know, a lot of times what we're finding is these locations that we're buying, they're struggling with the actual optimization of the business. One, they're trying to run the business themselves. They never hired themselves out of the business. They actually did bring on a team. They don't have standardization and training. And then even if they achieve that, they're relying on their distributors to help them optimize the actual tunnel and the chemicals within the tunnel. Now, what's wrong with relying on a vendor to do that? The vendor, you got a conflict of interest going on there. Sure. So you know, again, when we're building out this management company, we're still going to work very, very closely with our vendors to, you know, work on pricing and optimization, but we actually, as the management company, get to control the end-to-end product of that tunnel.
That makes a heck of a lot of sense. Let's talk then about you're finding opportunity presently run already mom and pop owned car washes. Are you considering building ground up?
Again, you know, right now there's still just enough opportunity, you know, in the acquisition space for us to build a large part of the portfolio, scale it up very quickly in this arena. We've already brought on 9 this year. Wow. So yeah, it's there. They're there, right? They're already built in primo locations. And without having to take on that build risk.
That valuing needs. Obviously it's a function of net operating income. But there's got to be a way to underwrite and say, hey, it's here. We can do X, Y, and Z to make it worth that. How do you do that?
Right. Yeah. So typically what we're doing with a multifamily unit, self-storage, you know, mobile home parks, you're underwriting net operating income. When you have a business, you're underwriting EBITDA, earnings before interest, depreciation, taxes, and insurance, right, and amortization. So we are actually, and I'm sorry, you know, amortization, not insurance piece. That's actually under a line item in the expenses. So when you take the EBITDA, essentially your profit, your gross profit, you know, we're paying a multiple on top of that. And so we're looking for car washes, probably valuing the car wash at like 8%, maybe 10% EBITDA, but it goes in even a little bit deeper than that because we're looking to be in at 51 to 53% of the expected gross income on the property. Even though we're putting these guys into like, you know, 2, 3, 7 portfolios, small portfolios together, we have underwriting each property to stand on its own. That really just helps mitigate more risk for the investor. right? Because, you know, our intentions is to do a large exit, potentially IPO, roll up to REIT. You know, those are a couple different, you know, exits there, but things just totally, you know, business totally tanks and we can't figure it out, which just the wealth of knowledge we have on our team, I don't see that happening. Each car wash can stand on its own at a very attractive return number.
Right. I like that. And that is interesting. Let's talk then about this splitting the business and the land, or maybe there's, you know, two things going on. There's a real estate play and then there's the business play. When you guys buy these, are you holding title to the business and to the land all in one? Or is it that the business then leases the real estate back from, I mean, how are you guys doing that? I guess if I can get the words out of my mouth.
That's an amazing question. And I really want to dig in further on that because I, you know, on where I'm at with working with the investor, I don't know that. And I haven't been asked that yet, but that's an amazing question. But I can tell you, what I can tell you is that we actually have both within the portfolio.
Right.
So, you know, I would imagine it's all wrapped up into the same LLC.
Mm. That's interesting. Yeah, because I would have thought, and again, I know this is pure conjecture on both of our parts. So it's not like either of us have the solid answer, because this is one of the businesses, you know, that I'm involved in is the laundry business. And in that, we've got both the, actually, I don't have it. Right now, we are just on a lease for the one we own, but looking to build the next few we do are going to be new builds. And I go, gosh, when I do that, I'm going to split them. One company's going to own the land and lease it back from the company that owns the actual business. Because then someday, if I want to sell off the business, I may still retain rights to the land and just be a landlord. Mm-hmm. I want to have that option. I didn't know how you guys were doing that. So, and then, of course, then you have two profitable companies and they have their own splits on the whole deal. It's a different equation altogether. But then I guess the last question for you, you're underwriting these, is that they can stand on their own, but it sounds like you're also taking them down inside of a fund. Is that right?
We're doing mini portfolios. You know, as we can group acquisitions together, you know, our first acquisition pool was 2 units. Our next acquisition pool was 7 units. So we're looking to group those together. And it operates like a fund in a few different ways in that you get diversification, multiple assets with one investment. So if you're investing, say, you know, $200,000, it's split over 2 assets or 7 assets, you know, so there's that. The cool thing, rather than doing it in a fund, is that it's not blind. So you actually get to see the assets at the beginning rather than sometimes when you invest in fund, if you're coming in early, you're not able to see the actual assets that are being required. You're having to invest on a hypothesis that the operator is making. You know, we choose not to do that with this type of acquisition. And lastly, you know, because of that, because the investor can actually see the assets, you know, inquire about individual metrics on each asset if they choose to, there's more of an immediacy to invest. I know for me, and this is getting down to investor behavior. I know for me, like when I'm investing my own dollars, I might be really excited by that investor bonus at the beginning for a blind fund, but you know, I'm very conservative and I want to all let the fund acquire like a few assets before I actually go into invest. That's just me.
Love it. Yeah, that's sage and hard-earned advice coming right there. Tell me about pricing. Like, what's a typical range of a cost per express tunnel car wash? Is it like $5 million? Is it $10 million? Is it $1 million? I have no idea. Where are you finding the range of pricing is for these?
It depends on the location. So, you know, the land, since we're acquiring the land is also going to be a large factor in the pricing. So you've got the actual, you know, again, what we talked about, 8 to 10x gross. And then we also have like the pricing of the land. So our first acquisition, you know, that one has since closed. You know, that one was an $8 million acquisition. So two of them. Yep.
Right.
Yeah. As we grow the NOI, just think about that. You know, we're looking to optimize the NOI on that property and, you know, exit at a 10x EBITDA, you know, when we go for an IPO. So there's just a, you know, a nice ability to create some exponential growth for our investors.
Yeah, absolutely. When you look at businesses like this, they typically have a higher cash on cash return, maybe than say a multifamily project or even a self-storage for that matter. I mean, again, I know you probably can't say exactly what it is on the air, but like what's an expected range you guys are looking at that you would say, hey, if it falls in this range, it looks good for us?
Yeah, our first couple of acquisitions, first 8 acquisitions, you know, pulled together, you know, cash on cash, you know, first year might be, you know, like, again, we always underwrite very conservatively, you know, because we're, you know, having to optimize the asset. First year might be somewhere between 4.5% to 8% cash on cash. as we stabilize all the units together. And then we're ramping up as quickly as we can to, you know, 8, 9, 10%. We are looking to hit 15% cash on cash by the end of 5 years.
Got it. Okay. Cool. That is absolutely, you know, fascinating. Last question for you on this leverage. What sort of debt's available for this?
Yeah. So we're using private lending. We're looking at, you know, very attractive 60% loan to value. Our, you know, on the last acquisition that we did, I'm just looking up the number. We did a 4.15% interest rate fixed for 5 years with a 20-year amortization. Wow. So it's very competitive private business funding.
No, that makes all the difference in the world. That's a lot. Those are a lot better terms than I would have thought on the private lending side. So that's absolutely awesome. Whitney, thank you for taking the time to break down the car wash space, why you guys see opportunity there, and then how you're acquiring assets and then running them. I think it's brilliant. Is there any question I should have asked or any other last piece of information that you'd like to share?
Well, I think, you know, one thing, you know, as an investor, when you're looking to invest in a project like this that definitely has a value add component, what is the value add that you can create on a car wash? So, you know, we've talked about, you know, the actual tunnel, and a lot of everything occurs within that tunnel. You know, can you optimize the chemicals in the tunnel? Some of the chemicals in a car wash are extremely expensive, but mom and pop operators might actually put that chemical on the car every single time it comes through. We can actually optimize for that based on the membership and only apply it like one every four times that the car comes through. So we have a lot of optimization with the chemicals in the tunnel. We have optimization with the payroll. It can be run with, you know, maybe 4 to 6 full-time employees, you know, annually. So very low overhead and cost that way. And there's just a wealth of things that we can do, you know, with the vacuum housings, you know, perks that we can add, subscription packages to the property or to the business. And so, you know, I know one thing that investors ask me, and they're like, well, what happens if somebody comes every single day to wash their car? You're like, okay, if a subscription package, the lowest one costs $35 a month, the average car wash, a person washing their car uses 80 cents of water and chemicals on the car. We've got a nice healthy margin there. So they would literally have to wash their car probably twice a day for the full month before we started losing money on that subscription agreement.
And that's a lot of commitment for somebody to wash their car twice. Now, I'll be honest, I used to live in Indianapolis, and on snow days, man, I loved my car wash subscription because you get all that black, gray, brown, muddy salt water. Man, I'd go through 4 or 5 times in a day because I was on the road all day long. But of course, that was only, you know, 3 or 4 days of the year. So they still got their money from me.
Well, and you tapped on a really kind of a great point here. And that is, you know, we're talking a very interesting time in our economy. Right. So, you know, a lot of investors are going, what happens in a recession? How recession resilient are these assets? And so we've talked about the optimization. We've talked about the subscription packages. But, you know, investors ask me and they're like, well, wouldn't somebody just cancel their subscription? First of all, you know, science or statistics already tell us when somebody actually establishes the behavior of washing their car, they don't break it.
Right.
And especially at $35 a month, that's a pretty low hanging fruit compared to other expenses.
I love it.
Also, but when you have a recession environment, right? And last point here is people actually take better care of their cars because they don't have to repair the car, right? Just like what you're talking about. We live in Colorado. You've got that mag chloride. Like, I don't want to have to like deal with the paint here in a couple of years. I'm going to spend a couple bucks and wash my car.
You got it. I love it, Whitney. I know we're out of time. Thank you for coming on the show today and breaking this down. It's been tons of fun. If our listeners want to get in touch with you, what is the best way to do that?
Yeah, a couple places. You can reach out to me directly at passiveinvestingwithwhitney.com. That you just follow the little form on the page and you'll land directly on my calendar. You can also email me at whitney@passiveinvestingwithwhitney.com. Or no, hold on. Whitney@passiveinvesting.com. I got a little off there.
Whitney@passiveinvesting.com. Got it. We'll make sure we get that corrected and in the show notes properly. Whitney, thank you again for your time. It was great to reconnect.
Yeah, it's you too. Thanks, Sam.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.